One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't.
That's Carl Perkins, Mr. Blue Suede Shoes in person, and he's coming to Memphis, Tennessee, direct from the Perry Como TV show. Carl Perkins will rock and roll in the Overton Park Shell for a great show Friday night, the 1st of June, 8 p.m. Hear him sing Blue Suede Shoes, Honey Don't, and his sensational new Boppin' the Blues. There'll be Johnny Cash in the Tennessee, too, with Cry, Cry, Cry and Folsom Prison Blues. Rock and Roll Ruby with Warren Smith. The new sensation Roy Orbison and his Teen Kings with the Ooby Dooby.
Hey, baby, jump over here when you do the Ooby Dooby. I just gotta be near Ooby Dooby.
And the Rockin' Daddy, Eddie Bond and the Stompers. It's a great country rock and roll show starring the new sensation of the nation, Mr. Blue Suede Shoes, Carl Perkins in person. Buy your tickets now for Johnny Cash, Warren Smith, Roy Orbison, Eddie Bond, and Mr. Blue Suede Shoes, Carl Perkins in person. Friday night, the 1st of June, 8 p.m. at Overton Park Shell in Memphis.
Gonna tell it to the north, gonna tell it to the south, gonna tell it to the east, and gonna tell it to the west. Now there's only one. Mad Mark After Dark, the man that hates everything except the real thing. Coming to you once again, right here and right now. So you better listen, because I always tell it like it is, always have, and always will. And tonight is certainly no different than any other night. Well, the 1970s were a time when hard rock and heavy metal music grew up and matured with bands like Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Queen, Black Sabbath, as well as many, many others. Now, those bands in particular sold millions of records, elevating music to yet another level and giving inspiration to the masses. But you know what? There were plenty of bands who never had the success they deserve. Now, I grew up like all of you out there, listening to the radio and watching TV and seeing and hearing some of the greats, and we have spoken about them many times on the program, and I'll probably continue talking about them for as long as I do the Mark After Dark show. Big part of my life, big part of the reason why I play music. Now, there's this friend of mine, one of my best friends in the whole world, who introduced me to this blue book called the International Encyclopedia of Hard Rock and Heavy Metal Music by Tony Jasper. Now, that book outlined bands from 1967 up until 1985, and it included the popular groups like the Jimi Hendrix Experience and Cream and the rest of the well-known pioneers of music that we all know and love. But what made that book particularly interesting and so special is that it also included dozens and dozens of lesser-known or extremely unknown bands. And that book got me and my friend interested in listening to their music. So while we went to record stores together and record conventions all over the New York tri-state area, we started searching for and collecting their music. Got a lot of funny stories about that. I mean, it was almost competitive between me and him. But I'll tell you something, in the long run, we both ended up with extremely large record and actually video collections in the process. No, I mean, we're still competitive when it comes to music, but he's the greatest friend I ever had. I'll tell you. Man, some of the stories. I've known him for a really long time. So you know what? What I find is that some of these groups were actually signed to major labels and came from all over the world. Now, the British Invasion, and I have spoken about the British Invasion many times, brought the blues back to America, as well as delivering some of the hardest-hitting, hardest rock and roll possible. And I'll tell you something, if it wasn't for the British Invasion, I personally wouldn't know about Muddy Waters, Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and some of those blues legends, which I love so much and have played on the program so many times over the years. But getting back to what we're doing in the topic, we opened up the top of the show with a band called Gunn, who were formed back in 1967 by guitarist, vocalist Paul Gervitz, with his brother Adrian Gervitz on bass guitar and backing vocals, alongside drummer Louis Farrell. Now, the band recorded two studio albums before disbanding after being signed to CBS Records in early 1968. And they scored a British top 10 hit with the track Race with the Devil. And it was issued as a single in October of 1968 and reached the top 10 in the UK. So we led off the top of this episode with that very track. And let me give you some background on it. Jimi Hendrix quoted the riff during his song Machine Gun at the Isle of Wight Festival in 1970. And Race with the Devil has been covered by a number of different bands, including Judas Priest on their 2001 remastered CD version of Sin After Sin. Southern rock legends Black Oak, Arkansas. Yes, Black Oak, Arkansas did a cover and named their November 1977 album after it. Girls School recorded another version of that song on their 1980 debut album, Demolition. But after Guns' second studio album, Gunsight, in 1969, they broke up. And then the Gervitz brothers went their separate ways for a while, but then formed Three Man Army in 1971 and recorded three studio albums between 1974 until 1976. But eventually, Three Man Army became the Baker Gervitz Army with the legendary Ginger Baker, formerly of Cream, completing the band's lineup. And that trio has recorded three albums by themselves. I'll tell you something. We have played those three bands on this program many, many times. Because I love the Gervitz brothers. Those guys were amazing musicians, still are. I've read a lot of stuff. Adrian Gervitz does producing now, and Paul Gervitz plays alongside many other artists. Still, I mean, they're still actively doing stuff. But unfortunately, Ginger Baker passed away on October 6, 2019. And I'll tell you, we all know him from Cream. About a few years ago, they did a documentary on Ginger called Beware Mr. Baker. He was a crazy guy, and you can hear him talk about all his adventures in music, and I highly recommend it. I mean, I see on YouTube that they have the whole movie on there, and you can buy it on DVD. I bought mine on Amazon years and years ago when that movie came out, and it's a kick. He was crazy. He's going to be missed by music for sure, but his music lives on forever. But moving on into the first section of music. Nick Simper was the original bassist of Deep Purple from 1968 until 1969, recording their first three albums. But after being fired by Deep Purple in 1969, Nick Simper formed Warhorse with Jed Peck on guitar and Mac Poole on drums. Ashley Holt became the band's lead singer, and then they recruited keyboardist Rick Wakeman. But when they did their first demo recordings in April of 1970, Rick Wakeman was replaced by Frank Wilson, and Warhorse signed to Vertigo Records and released a self-titled album in November of 1970. In June of 1972, their second album, Red Sea, was released. But unfortunately, soon after that album's release, Warhorse were dropped by their label. But their music's always remembered. And Ritual, off of their 1970 debut album, is a great opener, and it's inspired by Deep Purple. So take a listen, and there's the topic for tonight's show. There you go.
I wallow in the dregs in the den of tune to a rock and roll recital? There's one coming your way December 29th in the Fairgrounds Coliseum. 6 hours of total rock and roll starring Johnny Winter, one of the greatest rock guitarists today. The holiday concert for 1973 is at the Coliseum. 6 hours of the hottest rock and roll this year, starring Johnny Winter, the James Gang, Spirit, the New York Dolls, and
let me tell you about
Brownsville Station. December 29th, 5 p.m. at the Coliseum.
I'm alive and well. Ooh. I'm alive and well. I'm still alive and well.
Tickets are only $5. Get yours now at Ross and Babcock, Ross and Young, all 12 Union Federal offices, and the usual out-of-town locations.
Yeah. First came through, girl, got burns out in your mind. I'm waiting, woman, to hear you at my door. I'm waiting, woman, to tell you something more. I'm waiting, woman, gotta know the score. I'm waiting, woman, I won't fool you no more.
Okay, before we move on into discussing what music was played in the last section of music, and there's some things I gotta say about these unsung heroes, as I like to call them. Now, it's terrible that some of these bands didn't go further than they did, and they should have. They should have. A lot of these bands I featured, I don't understand. The songs are catchy. The music is great. They're signed to major labels. And you would figure that they would make it. And it just tells you that being signed to a major label doesn't always prove to be that your band is going to be the next big thing. I mean, record executives get together and they have already chosen the bands that they're going to promote. Like, who doesn't want to hear Deep Purple? Who doesn't want to hear Led Zeppelin, Queen, or Black Sabbath? I mean, those bands were handpicked for success. And then you have the second tier bands like Foghat and Thin Lizzy, and those bands are sort of chosen. And I love those bands for sure. But a lot of these other bands, I mean, they sit around a table and either come up with a name for their band, so they're doomed because the name they chose for the band. So their success is kind of like a name. The name could kill the band. Or an album cover. They choose a stupid album cover. You look at the album cover and you decide whether you're going to like the band or not. We live in a very visual world. Even in the 1970s, it was very visual. People will look at the album and go, this is disgusting. I'm not going to buy this album. This is a stupid cover. I'm not going to buy it because the cover looks dumb. So the album fails to succeed. And Orangutan was one of those groups. And they were formed in London, England. And they only had a single debut self-titled album. And it was originally released in the U.S. exclusively. Now, that band featured many musicians from other notable dissolved bands. And that self-titled release came out in 1971, and I'll tell you something. Several of those songs are nothing short of brilliant. And Chocolate Piano has proven to just be that. Now, Hard Stuff, it's another excellent band, and it included John Duncan and Paul Hammond, formerly of Atomic Rooster, with vocalist Harry Alshaw and John Gustafson, formerly of Quatermass, and Bulletproof was their first album, and it was released in June of 1972 on Deep Purple's Purple Records. But unfortunately, during the recording of their second album, 1973's Bolax Dementia, two members of the band, John Duncan and Paul Hammond, were seriously injured in a car accident in Belgium. And I remember reading this in Either it was a circus or a cream magazine from years and years later about why Heart's stuff failed. So they managed to finish the recording of their second album, but unfortunately, Heart's stuff split up shortly after the release of that album. Now, Hobo, off of their debut album, is, in my opinion, an underground masterpiece. And I highly recommend that first album to anybody that asks me about it. Have any of you out there ever heard of the Flying Hat Band? And I've researched them like crazy. I remember when I first heard about them, there was nothing on them out there. And they were formed in the early 1970s. And I read about them, like I said, and despite not having released an album, the band had proven to be a successful club act and eventually went on to support Deep Purple on one of their European tours. And the band broke up in April of 1974. Now, this is the reason why I researched them, because Glenn Tipton, who was a founding member of that band, left to become the second guitarist in Judas Priest, and we all know his history with Judas Priest. But I'm a researcher, and I always research where some of these guys come from, and that's what I discovered. Another very famous bass player came out of that band named Peter Mars Cowling, and he joined Canadian rocker Pat Travers in 1975 and was part of that band for several years, recording and releasing material in that band. Well, in 1992, Worldwide Records released a compilation album entitled Buried Together, which features another unknown hard rock band called Atrabus. Stupid-ass name for a band, Atrabus. There's a band that's doomed for failure right there. Now, the Scottish band Atrabus changed their name to Ironclaw, thank God, which we're going to feature later on in the show. I promise you that. The great band Ironclaw. But the Flying Hat Band's recordings were produced between 1973 and 1974. Now, if you listen very, very carefully, Seventh Plan has hints of Glenn Tipton's later work with Judas Priest. Now, another one of my favorites of the unsung hero genre of music. Yes, I'm creating a genre called Unsung Heroes. Hustler released two very excellent albums, High Streets in 1974 and Play Loud in 1975. And those two recordings remain powerful examples of what the back-to-basics British rock movement that eventually exploded into the new wave of British heavy metal movement became. Just Leave a Good Man, off of their 1974 debut, is a perfect example of what pure hard rock should sound like. And I'll tell you something about Hustler. Hustler were amazing. Hustler opened up for Queen at the Rainbow in 1974. And, I mean, Queen, they released a DVD a few years back of Queen at that show, and you can find Hustler's live performance on YouTube. I've seen it. It's like a band that it's like, damn, why didn't they make it? I mean, they opened up for Queen, for God's sakes. Well, closing off the last section of music with one of my all-time favorites, another one of my all-time favorites, Dirty Tricks, were formed in 1974, and we have featured them many, many times on the program, and it was formed by vocalist Kenny Stewart, guitarist John Fraser Beatty, with bass player Terry Hobry, and drummer John Lee completing the lineup. And that band, as we've talked about many times, drew inspiration from Bad Company, The Faces, Black Sabbath, and Deep Purple, and they released three albums on Polydor Records during the mid-1970s. A self-titled release in 1970, Nightman in 1976, and Hit and Run in 1977. The first cut off of their 1975 debut Wait Till Saturday really puts you into the vibe of this band. And it really hits home with me, because whenever I get a new listener that asks me about the show, and they ask, when can we hear it? I say, well, you have to wait till Saturday. Isn't that perfect? Perfect song. The thing about Dirty Tricks is all of those guys went on to do other things. Kenny Stewart went on to join a Zeppelin tribute band. And whenever I hear that stuff, and I watch that stuff on YouTube, I think it's Led Zeppelin, because he's such a great singer. And the thing about it is he's also released a handful of solo albums, which I think are excellent. He's a great singer. It's a band with a great singer that should have done something and did it. But moving on into the next section of music. Stretch were put together in 1974 with the help from Fleetwood Mac's manager Clifford Davis and drummer Mick Fleetwood to perform as Fleetwood Mac on a U.S. tour, due to the fact that Fleetwood Mac weren't in a position to fulfill those outstanding obligations. But however, Mick Fleetwood did not join the tour as was planned and later denied any knowledge or involvement, and partway through that particular tour, it became obvious to the audience that there were no original members of Fleetwood Mac in the band, and the tour collapsed. Now, Stretch grew from the collaboration between vocalist Elmer Gantry and guitarist Graham Patrick, otherwise known as Kirby, and the band rose from the ashes of the whole Fleetwood Mac debacle and soon had a number 16 single in November of 1975 with Why Did You Do It, and released a number of excellent albums, including 1976's You Can't Beat Your Brain for Entertainment. My friend, who I used to go to record shows with, and still do, I mean, he's still one of my best friends in the world, introduced me that record. Always blows me away. And every time I play that album, the track, if the cap fits, which he argues with me on it, saying that that song is not, there's other songs on that record that are just as great. And he's right, there are, but that's my favorite song. And it's a great lead-in for the next section of music. So take a listen to this great band. And we'll be back. There you go.
Good friends of mine. man thinks in a hurry, how to fight or be pushed round. No one knows what I've been through. It's just a picture they've seen. Oh. Shoes for kicking and a knife for picking, faster than anyone at school. No one knows what I've been through. It's just a picture of me.
First time on film, the music and mind of Led Zeppelin. The song remains the same. A journey out of the extraordinary into the fantastic. Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, John Bonham, Led Zeppelin, in concert and beyond. The song remains the same. Rated PG.